In the old days there reigned in Egypt a very cruel pharaoh. He treated his people barbarically. He felt no love or compassion for anyone. He cared only for his own comfort and his own interest. So one day this pharaoh summoned all the nobles to his palace. The pharaoh, "Look there. Nobles of Egypt, rise. I have called you here today to speak to you about a serious matter. As you know, our land has the misfortune of being full of Hebrews, in our cities, in our villages, in our plains. Wherever you turn, you will see their cursed race spread everywhere. A handful of them once came from Canaan, fewer than 100 men and women, and they have multiplied like the sand of the sea, and they multiply from day to day. But that is not the only evil. It is that they are growing strong as well. They are sharp, tireless, full of energy. They are taking the whole life of Egypt into their hands. If we go on this way, they will slowly choke us. They will wipe us out. They will become the masters in our land, and we the slaves. You worry without cause, O king. The Hebrews do good for Egypt. They work in the fields. They plow, they sow, they reap. For themselves, not for us, as for us. They hate us, and if war breaks out, you may be certain, every one of you may be certain, that they will join our enemies and fight against us. It may be as you say, I do not know. I believe you are right, O king. And we must do something while there is still time, something to weaken them and keep them from multiplying. That is exactly what I thought, and why I summoned you here. Put the Hebrews to hard labor. Make them carry stones and mud from dawn until night. Make them build, lift unbearable burdens, and dig ditches along the Nile. Do not let them catch their breath for a single moment. Keep them under your lash. Torment them until they are utterly broken. Many of them will not endure it. They will die from exhaustion and fever, while most of the others will drag themselves along the ground, utterly spent. In time their people will grow weak and diminish. Then we shall have nothing more to fear and no danger to face. What do you say? We say that you are a very wise king. King, how did you ever think of it? Excellent. May the gods grant you many years for the good of our country. Thank you. Now go and do as I have commanded you. And to think that one king is to blame for all this misery, a king who once welcomed a young Hebrew slave into his palace with every honor and placed all authority, the whole land of Egypt, in his hands. His name was Joseph. He knew how to interpret dreams and once saved Egypt from famine. But was that any reason for Pharaoh to send wagons laden with gifts and bring from Canaan? From Canaan, his parents and his brothers. That is how the trouble began. And because of them, we now bear all that we bear. This is what we are suffering now. Time passed, and one day, again the same nobles gathered at the palace by command of Pharaoh. The Pharaoh, the Pharaoh, 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 kneel, he has risen. Rise, nobles of Egypt. How long has it been since I called you to give you my orders about the Hebrews? It is nearly 4 years. So, what have you done in this time? We set the Hebrews to heavy labor. We tormented them. We oppressed them harshly. We made their life a martyrdom. They work under the whip without lifting their heads, in the mud, in the scorching sun, among the mosquitoes, in the waters. They even built whole cities. I know all of this. But what have we gained? The more they work and are tormented, the more they multiply and grow strong. Their cursed race is not undone. It is capable. It is clever and strong. They say they will never be undone, that they are blessed by their God. Nonsense. I do not know this God of theirs, but I do know that we must be finished with them, and there is no other way than the one I will tell you. Every male Hebrew child that is born is to be thrown into the Nile and drowned. Then we shall see whether their God can save them. Your command is harsh, O king. Think it over before you decide. I have decided, and there will be no objections. Every male child who is born is to be drowned in the Nile. Let the girls live. When they grow up, we shall need them as workers. Farewell, rulers of Egypt at that time. There lived in Egypt a husband and wife from the tribe of Levi, Abraham and Jochebed. They had a daughter named Miriam, and in those days Jochebed gave birth to a baby boy. As soon as Miriam saw him, she cried, "O mother, how beautiful our little baby is! How can we throw him into the river? Are we going to let him drown? Hush, no one will find out. We live on the edge of the city, out in the countryside. We have no close neighbors, and I hardly ever go outside. We will keep him here with us. O wife, for how long? Sooner or later, they will find out. Pharaoh's spies are everywhere. They even enter people's homes and search them. They have neither shame nor pity. They have no God. I do not know, Abraham, I do not know. I only know that I am a wretched mother. We complain about the torments the Egyptians inflict on us. Yet they are nothing compared with this." 3 months passed. Jochebed's little child was growing. He ate, kicked his little legs, and laughed, but very often he would burst into tears. "Hush, my little darling. Hush, don't cry. Hush now, come. Egyptians are passing by outside. If they hear it, we are lost." "You are right, my daughter. We are all lost. Not only the baby, for if the Egyptians discover it, they will kill us all. Your father and you, and me, for we did not respect the law. We disobeyed Pharaoh's command. Father, I am afraid." "So am I, my Miriam." The more he grows, the louder his crying becomes. "I see it, my God. We will not be able to keep our little child any longer. We will not be able to save him. Do not tell me we are going to throw him into the Nile. No, my child. No, we will entrust him to God. Bring me a good amount of grass. I know there is plenty of it in the storeroom." Stealing her heart, the mother began to weave from the grass a little basket, narrow and long, so that her child would fit inside it. When she had finished it, she coated it well with pitch, so that the water would not get in. Then she lined it with soft little clothes, and, weeping bitterly, laid her child inside and closed the woven cover, while still letting the air come in. Together with her daughter, she carried him at daybreak to the river bank. In that place, the water of the Nile was shallow and had no current, and it formed a kind of pool there. With 1,001 precautions, they set down the little basket. "My God, save my little child. Protect him. Do not let him be lost. You stay here, Miriam. Hide among the reeds and watch what happens. I will go to our house. I want your father to find me there when he returns. When he returns." At that very moment, Thermuthis, Pharaoh's daughter, went down to the Nile with her maidservants to bathe. "Look there by the river bank. Near the reeds there is a little basket. Oh, let me see. Ah, a little baby. How beautiful he is. And the poor little thing is crying. But how could you not cry all alone in the water? Come, let me hold you in my arms. There now, hush, my little one, hush. Do not cry. I will not let you be lost. Do not be afraid. I will take you to the palace of Pharaoh, my father, and you will see what a lovely life you will have. Hush, hush, come, come, hush. A little girl comes out of the reeds. What is your name, little one? Miriam, my princess. Would you like me to bring you a nurse for the baby? Of course I would. But be quick, for the poor thing will be hungry. Why are you standing there? Do you want something? Does it matter? Does it matter if she is a Hebrew? No, it doesn't matter, and this child must be a Hebrew too, but I've already grown to love him dearly. Miriam ran to her house. Mother, mother, the princess, I'll take you quickly. What are you saying, my child? Listen to what I'm telling you. I'll tell you on the way there. She found our baby in his little basket. Who do you think it was, mother? The princess, Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, my God, she took him in her arms, she kissed him, and she wants a nurse to feed him. I was behind the reeds, and I saw it all. Look with your own eyes. She is holding him in her hands. She is dancing him about. She is singing to him. Ah, you've come. Listen, my good woman. Can you take this little child into your home and look after him? Yes, my princess, I can. But I want you to watch over him for me. See that nothing happens to him. care for him well. I will care for him, have no worry, I'll pay you regularly for your trouble. You'll even have gifts, and you will raise him for me. Yes, my princess. When you have raised him, you'll bring him to me at the palace. I will adopt him. I'll make him my own child. Take him now and go in peace. And truly, his name is Moses. Moses? Yes, it means the one who is drawn from the water. The little child grew up little by little. The good princess would come and see him and delight in him. And when he had grown enough, his mother took him, with a heavy heart, to the palace. We find ourselves in a humble little room, where a sorrowful mother is speaking to her little boy. My beloved child, God willed that you alone be saved out of all the Hebrew children of your generation, all who were born in this city. I nursed you and raised you, and you've become a fine young lad, but I can keep you no longer wretched as I am. I must give you to the palace. Don't give me away, mother. I don't want to go. Neither do I, my dear heart. But yesterday, when the princess came to see you, she told me you've grown enough now, and it is time for her to take you. She'll make you her adopted son. I want to stay in our home with you. We wanted that too, my golden child, but it cannot be. Don't forget that the princess saved you, that you wouldn't be alive now without her. She drew you from the riverbank and gave you to me. She gave you to me to raise without knowing that I was your mother. Ah, I know that I will be parted from you. Yet I take a little comfort when I think that you won't live the hard life we live. The Egyptians torment us terribly, Moses. They humiliate us. They load us with heavy labors. They want to destroy us. But I take comfort that you, at least, will live in the palace. You'll live like a noble child and have teachers to educate you. It would be better for me to work too, like my father. God's will was otherwise, my child. But listen and pay attention to what I will tell you. With all the good life you'll have in the palace, never forget your origins. You are of the tribe of Israel, the tribe that God blessed and loves. I won't forget it. And later, when you're grown, you'll do all you can to protect our people. Yes, my mother, to relieve them, my child, from their sufferings. Yes, my mother. You're still young, but the young remember too. And besides, I'll come as your nurse. I'll come now and then to the palace to see you. And I'll never let you forget, my child. That very day his mother took Moses to Pharaoh's palace. Pharaoh's daughter, Thermuthis, had loved the little child from the moment she opened his basket and found him crying in his swaddling clothes, abandoned and all alone on the bank of the Nile. She adopted him and made sure that he lived like a true prince. Yet Moses was not content, and whenever he saw his mother, he would tell her, "My soul aches when I see the people of our nation suffering. I love them, and I despair because there is nothing I can do to help them." Do not despair, Moses. The God who willed that you be saved and sent you to live in Pharaoh's palace has his purpose, and sooner or later he will reveal it to you. Only have patient endurance. He will endure patiently. The years passed, and Moses grew up and became a man. One day, as he was walking through the city and saw his brethren carrying loads too heavy for the human body to bear, a terrible anger seized him. Suddenly he saw an Egyptian brutally whipping a Hebrew who was bent double beneath his load. Moses' mind went dark. He rushed forward and struck the Egyptian so hard that the man fell to the ground and never rose again. Word of what had happened quickly spread through the city and reached the palace. An officer hurried to Pharaoh. "O king, my king, allow your humble servant to tell you what happened in the city today." "Speak, a Hebrew killed an Egyptian." "What are you saying? He dared to do such a thing." "He did, O king. Have the Hebrew seized at once and put to death. That is my command. Why are you still standing there? Go." "Yes, I will go, Pharaoh, but first I must tell you who the Hebrew is. He is Moses, the adopted son of our princess. He deserves to die twice over for the ingratitude. He has shown, after all, our kindness to him. Besides, I would make an exception for no one. If I spared even one person, even once, woe to us. Others would follow his example, and no one knows where it would end. Take soldiers with you and do as I commanded." The man left, but a servant who had loved Moses since he was a little child in the palace overheard Pharaoh's conversation with the officer and ran. "Moses, flee quickly. Pharaoh has commanded that you be killed. He has learned what you did to the Egyptian. Soldiers have already left the palace to find you. Flee." Moses had time and fled. He slipped secretly out of the city, walked as fast as he could, and escaped the soldiers who could not find him. He left Egypt and went to the land of Midian. "Here the cruel Pharaoh cannot reach me. I have nothing more to fear from him. If I'm fortunate, perhaps. Ah, I see a well down there. I'll sit down, drink some water, and rest. I see some young women coming this way with sheep. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ah, 7. 7. Hello, welcome. I see you have a fine flock, but it is thirsty, and we've come to water it. You seem to be a stranger. Yes, I left Egypt and came to settle in this land. I hope to find some work to earn my bread. If you know how to plow the earth, to sow and to reap, or to tend sheep, you'll find it. Though you don't look as if you've worked, your hands and your face show a man of comfortable living. In need, a man learns everything. And the work you mentioned isn't difficult for a man. Perhaps our father will agree too. He is the priest of Midian, and we are his 7 daughters. But it is time for us to draw water, move out of the way, or the sheep will get mixed together. Go away, we will water our sheep first, but we arrive before you. If we wait for you, we will be late, and our father will worry. Really, what are you telling us? Let him worry. That is no concern of ours. But what do you want? Enough talk. Go away, do you hear? Get out of our sight. You should be ashamed of yourselves for behaving like this. These girls have done nothing wrong. They will water their sheep. So leave this place and let them be, or you will have to answer to me. And who are you to give us orders? I am not giving you orders. I am telling you what is right. Come, let us go farther off and wait our turn. The stranger is right. Let us listen to him. Bring the sheep closer, girls. I will draw water for you so that you can give them a drink. A little while later, the sheep had been watered and were already setting off for their fold. Thank you, stranger, for your help. Thank you very much. Go in peace. I feel sorry for the poor man. He will have nowhere to sleep tonight. That is nothing. He can sleep wherever he happens to find a place, in a ditch or beneath a tree. It seems he'll go to sleep hungry. I didn't see anything in his bag. What a pity. All his food is gone. Why are you laughing? I don't suppose you'll stay hungry yourself. If I had bread with me, I'd give you some. But we ate it all today. Nothing is left, not even a crumb. The girls reached their home, put the sheep in the fold, and went into the house. You're back early today. Yes, father. But we had trouble when we went to the well to water the flock. Is that so? Yes, father, some shepherds came and were keeping us from the water. But by our good fortune, there was a stranger at the well who defended us. He drove the shepherds away, drew water for us, and we watered our flock more quickly. And what happened to this stranger? We left him there by the well. That was not right. Go and bring him here to eat with us. Come, Zipporah, let the two of us go. But just the two of us. So the two girls went back to the well, where Moses was still sitting. Stranger, our father begs you to come to our house and eat with us. Thank you, I come with great joy. With great joy. Welcome to my house, stranger. I thank you for the help you gave my daughters, and I thank you for inviting me into your house. Are you coming to our land for the first time? I come from the country of Pharaoh. My name is Moses, and I am of the tribe of Israel. I am Jethro, the priest of Midian. My house is open to you. You may stay as long as you wish. Thank you, but only if you have work to give me, for I want to repay with my own labor the bread I will eat. I do have work. You will tend my flock, and so you will more than repay your bread, as you put it. Agreed, you give me great joy, Jethro. So Moses settled in the priest's house, and tended their sheep in the barren plains of Midian. And later he married Zipporah, one of Jethro's daughters. A long time passed from the day Moses fled from Egypt to escape Pharaoh's punishment. That Pharaoh died, and then the people of Israel, no longer able to bear the harsh labor the Egyptians had laid upon them, sought salvation from their God. Save us now. Do not let them go on tormenting us. Our sufferings are many. We cannot endure any longer. You said that we are your beloved people. So why do you not protect us? Protect the sons of Israel. Have compassion on them and show them mercy. Their lament rose up to God, and God heard their groaning. Moses was tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. One day he led them to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Suddenly a bush burst into flame. Look how it burns. How high the flames are rising. But what a strange sight. The bush has been in the flames all this time, and yet it is not consumed. It remains just as it was, whole and green. Just like the others around it, what can be happening? Let me go closer to it and see. Moses, yes, here I am. Do not come near this place. Take off your sandals, for the ground on which you are standing is holy ground. Who is it? Who is speaking to me? I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Lord, I cover my eyes. I dare not look upon you. I have seen the torments of my people who live in Egypt. I have heard their cries and understood their pain, and I have come down to free them from the hands of the Egyptians. O Lord, to take them out of that land and lead them to another land, a fertile and spacious land, to a place flowing with milk and honey, to the land of Canaan. Their cries have reached me, and I have seen the torments they endure. So I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. Lord, who am I to go to Pharaoh and bring your people out of Egypt? Do not be concerned. I will be with you. This will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. And what shall I tell them, Lord? Go and gather the elders of Israel and tell them, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has sent me to you. He knows the hard life you live, the sufferings you endure, and he has decided to take you out of Egypt and lead you to the land of Canaan, where milk and honey flow. Let us all go together to Pharaoh. Yes, Lord. You will go then to Pharaoh and say to him, the God of the Hebrews has revealed himself to us. Therefore, we ask you to let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifice to our God. But will the elders obey me? They will obey you, but Pharaoh will not give you leave to go. And I will punish both him and the Egyptians who torment you. I am afraid, Lord, that they will not believe and will not listen to me. They will not believe that the Lord revealed himself to me. Moses, what is that you are holding in your hand? My staff, Lord, throw it on the ground. Ah, I see a serpent, Lord. Do not be afraid. Stretch out your hand and take it by the tail. What are you holding now? My staff again, Lord. The same thing will happen before the elders of Israel and before all the people, and then they will believe that the God of their fathers appeared to you. But I cannot speak well. I am slow of speech. I will be near you and will teach you whatever you are to say. Besides, you will take your brother Aaron with you. He speaks well and will help you. There he is now, coming to meet you. He will rejoice greatly to see you. Now take your staff in your hands and go to Egypt. You have nothing to fear. Those who sought your death have died, and the others have no reason to bring you harm. Yes, Lord. Moses left the mountain of Horeb full of turmoil and went to his father-in-law's house. Jethro, let me, I beg you, depart and return to my brothers in Egypt. I want to see whether they are still alive. Jethro gave him leave, and Moses lost no time. He set his wife and his two children, Gershom and Eliezer, upon donkeys, and he himself took the staff of God in his hands, and they set out for Egypt. As they walked through the wilderness, they met Aaron, whom God had sent to Moses. The two brothers embraced and kissed each other, and Moses recounted to him all that God had told him. When they reached Egypt, Moses and Aaron gathered all the elders of Israel and told them how God had revealed himself to Moses and what he had sent him to do, so that they would have no doubt at all that they were being told the truth. Moses performed the miracle with the staff again in front of the people. The Hebrews believed, and they fell down and worshiped their God. Then Moses and Aaron entered the palace and asked to see the king. "My king, the Lord, the God of Israel, asks you to let his people go and offer him a sacrifice in the wilderness. Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice and send Israel into the wilderness? I do not know the Lord, and I will not send Israel anywhere. The God of the Hebrews has revealed himself to me, and I have told you what he asks. So let us go, my king, 3 days' journey into the wilderness to give him thanks. We are afraid that he may grow angry and punish us. All the people of Israel ask this favor of you. A little trip for amusement, is it, to drop their work and get up and leave? You speak prettily, but be off now. Go on your way and let these men get on with their work. Do not speak to them. Do not stir up their heads and do not waste their time for no reason. We are going, Pharaoh, but God will punish you for your merciless heart. Oh, what people you are! 3 days' journey into the wilderness they want, 3 days without work. Why don't they just ask to sit idle all year long and have me feed them? Did you hear them, my commander, how they howl? I heard them, my king. It seems they do not work hard enough, and that is why they still have time to shout. Should I let them go into the wilderness to give thanks to their God? The lazybones, we must give them heavier work to keep them more occupied. That way they will have no time left for shouting and demands. Am I not right? Very right, my king. Go then and find the overseers and tell them to give the Hebrews no more straw for making bricks. But can bricks be made without straw? No. But they will go and find the straw themselves and carry it. Take care, though, they shall make as many bricks as they made before, the same number, not one less, understood. I understand, my king. When the wretched Hebrews heard Pharaoh's new order, they began to tear out their hair in despair, and they scattered across all the land of Egypt to gather straw. But they lost a great deal of time over this work. And the bricks they prepared, laboring until night, were fewer than on the other days, when the straw had been brought to them. So Pharaoh's overseers whipped the Hebrew foreman, and those men ran to Pharaoh to make their complaint. Why have you done this thing, my king? The overseers give your servants no straw, yet they tell us to make the same number of bricks as before. But how can this be done, when we must spend half the day running here and there, searching for straw, gathering it, and carrying it? You are lazy and your minds are not on your work. You only know how to shout. Let us go and offer a sacrifice to the Lord. There now, off you go and work twice as hard, for no straw will be given to you, and you will make the same bricks as before. Go on, get out of my sight. Do you hear? Do you hear that? Beautiful. Moses returned sorrowfully to Mount Horeb and prayed to the Lord. Lord, why have you afflicted your people? Why did you send me to Egypt? I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, but he did not obey. He did not let your people go. Instead, he oppresses them even more, and yet you do not deliver them. I will set them free, Moses. I will stretch out my hand against him and bring them out of Egypt. But when you leave, you shall not go with empty hands. Every woman shall ask of her neighbor vessels of silver and gold and clothing for her children. The Egyptians will give them to you, and they will be left with nothing, but that is not enough. I will punish your tyrants harshly. God sent Moses to the king of Egypt many more times to ask him to let the Hebrews go from Egypt, but Pharaoh would not agree. He wanted to keep them as his slaves, to labor for the Egyptians, and he did not care that they were dying from the heavy work, the beatings, and the torments. Then God sent 10 punishments upon Egypt, one by one, 10 plagues as they are called, each more terrible than the last, until at the final plague, one night, all of Egypt was roused to its feet. And Pharaoh, whose firstborn son had died, as had all the firstborn children of the Egyptians, hastily summoned Moses and his brother Aaron. Get up and leave our land, you and all the Hebrews. Go and worship your God as you said, and take your oxen with you, your donkeys, your sheep, take everything. We leave it all to you. We cannot endure you any longer. Listen to the people of Egypt. They rose up terrified by the calamities that had befallen them. Leave Egypt. Because of you we have suffered so many evils. Gnats, hail, darkness, locusts, pestilence, death and calamity have fallen upon our people and our animals. What deadly plagues destroyed our crops, and still more fell upon us. And now our firstborn children are dying. There is not a single house without someone dead. Leave our land, go now, at once this very moment. How can we leave? We are naked. We will die of the cold. We will give you clothes to wear. I want a silver cup to drink water from, and I a golden basket. We will give you everything you ask. We will give you whatever gold and silver we have. We will be left naked. Only leave quickly so that no greater calamities overtake us. Each family of the Hebrews had prepared a lamb to celebrate the Passover. Nothing else had they done, nor did they find the time to get ready, for the Egyptians would not let them linger. They wanted to drive them out as quickly as possible. So they took whatever they could from their houses. They kneaded their dough in great haste, without leaven. They took their dough just as it was in the kneading troughs, which they wrapped in clothes and set upon their shoulders. They took also the gold and silver vessels they had asked of the Egyptians, and they set out in the night. The Egyptians, and they set out in the night, 600,000 men, besides the women and the children, and countless flocks of sheep and oxen. They had remained in Egypt 430 years. And after 430 years, on that very same day, the Lord brought them out of Egypt. He did not send them, however, by the road through the land of the Philistines, though it was shorter, because war was being waged there. He sent them around by way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea, with Moses as their leader, who had taken with him also the bones of Joseph. And God himself went before them, by day as a pillar of cloud to guide them, and by night as a pillar of fire to give them light. He told them also, through the mouth of Moses, to encamp near the sea. So while the people of the Hebrews were advancing through the wilderness, in the magnificent palace of Pharaoh, my king, your humble servant comes to tell you that the sons of Israel have fled. Yes, I gave permission to their leaders, Moses and Aaron. But I do not know whether I did well. You are my officer. What do you say? You are wisdom itself, my Pharaoh. Whatever you do is well done. No, not this time. I pondered it all night and found that I acted in haste, that fear on the one hand and the uprising of my people on the other made me say things that were not right. Why did we let the Hebrews go? Why should we lose so many thousands of slaves who plowed and sowed our fields, and reaped and carried the harvest into our storehouses, who kneaded the mud and made bricks, and built walls and cities, who dug ditches and brought water to our gardens? Why should we let them go? Am I not right, you tell me, right as always, Pharaoh? I will pursue them. Prepare my chariot, rouse the Egyptians, the soldiers, the officers, and all the people. Take every horse and every chariot in Egypt. We will pursue them and bring them back, and then they will learn what Pharaoh means. Compared with what they will suffer from now on, everything they have suffered until today was a feast, a joy, a game. So they wanted to leave, did they? They wanted to escape. Do not worry, they will escape. All right. But you will see what a wonderful time they will have with me. You will see what a wonderful time they will have with me. Just let me get my hands on you. Come on, what are you standing there for? Go and do as I told you. Within a few days, all the horses and chariots of Egypt, together with Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his cavalry, and his army, were ready and set out in pursuit of the Hebrews. At last, you see, they reached the Red Sea and camped near the shore. Come on, charge at them. Let us bring them back. They have been free men long enough. Now let them labor beneath our whips. Indeed, the Hebrews had encamped near the Red Sea when, ah, Moses, were there no graves in Egypt that you brought us to die here in the wilderness? Why did you do this to us? What wrong did we do you? Why did you take us out of Egypt? Better for us to labor as before than to die here. Do not be afraid. You will see how God will save you today. He will fight for you. As for the Egyptians you see, you will never see them again there. I hear the voice of the Lord. He calls me to go aside so that he may speak to me. I have come, Lord. What do you want of me, Moses? Tell the sons of Israel to move on. And you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And let the sons of Israel pass through on dry ground in the midst of the sea. The Egyptians will come after you, and I will destroy them. The people of the Hebrews set out, and the angel of God who went with them rose up and came behind them. And the pillar of cloud departed from before them and came behind them between the camp of Israel and the camp of the Egyptians. Thus it kept the Egyptians from drawing near to the Hebrews all night long. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea and touched it with his staff. The sea was split in two, its waters were parted, a road of dry land was opened. A miracle! The Lord has worked his miracle as he promised us. Let us go in, let us not delay. And the sons of Israel went into the midst of the sea, where in that place a broad road had been made, and the waters had stood firm like a wall on their right and on their left. But their joy did not last long. The Egyptians are coming after us. O my God, have mercy on us, save us. Take pity on us. Work your miracle again. Do not let them reach us. Indeed, behind them, all Pharaoh's horses, all his chariots, and his army had entered the roadway through the sea, pursuing the Hebrews in order to take them back to Egypt. But they could advance only with difficulty, because the Lord had removed the wheels from their chariots so that they could not overtake his people. Then the Egyptians became afraid. Let us turn back and flee from them. Their God loves them. He is defending them, and he will save them. But he is fighting against us and will not let us advance. Let us turn back. Moses once again stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea began to flow back. So, as the Egyptians fled, they saw it surging toward them, and the waters covered over the chariots and the army of Pharaoh that had gone in to chase down the Hebrews. Not a single one escaped, but the sons of Israel passed through as on dry land, right through the midst of the sea. The waters stood like a wall on their right and on their left. On that day God saved his people from the hands of the Egyptians, and the people believed in the Lord, and in the servant of the Lord, Moses. And all together they sang their thanksgiving. Let me sing to the Lord, for he is gloriously glorified. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will glorify him, the God of my father, and I will exalt him. In your mercy you have led this people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy dwelling place. God had stretched out his hand and saved his people from the Egyptians who were oppressing them. He parted the waters of the Red Sea from one shore to the other, and so the Israelites were able to pass through the sea without even getting their feet wet. 600,000 men, together with their wives, their children, their sheep, their oxen, and all the rest of their possessions. And now, under the guidance of Moses and his brother Aaron, they were journeying through the desert that lies beyond the Red Sea. But their hardships were not over. Others were waiting for them here. The weariness, the heat, the scorching sun, the lack of water, the hunger. Nearly 2 months had passed since the day they left Egypt, and now they found themselves in the desert of Sin, near Mount Sinai. Bread, mother, I'm hungry. Give me a little bread. Do you hear, Moses? Do you hear, Aaron? Our children are weeping, and hunger has broken us. How are we to endure? We have been walking for so many days and have found nothing to eat. What will become of us? It would have been better to die in Egypt, where we had all the bread we could eat. Why did you take us out of Egypt? Why did you bring us here to let us all die of hunger? Wait, do not cry out. God has told me that this evening he will give you meat to eat, and in the morning he will send you bread from heaven, because he has heard your grumbling. That very evening, look at the meat that God promised us. Quail have covered the whole place, and there are so many of them, countless, and how easily they are caught. You only have to reach out your hand. Come, light the fires. Let us eat, let us have our fill. Blessed be our God. In the morning when the Israelites got up, what is this? I don't know. The ground is all white, like a layer of dew, like ice. It is not ice, they are tiny little seeds, all white, and they are sweet as honey. It is the bread that God sends us from heaven. Yes, it is the bread he promised you. Let each one gather as much of it as he needs to eat today. For when it is kept until morning, it stinks and breeds worms. But will we find it again tomorrow, Moses? It won't vanish all at once the way it came. No, it will not vanish. God has told me it will fall every morning until we reach the land of Canaan. We will never go hungry again. God did just as he had promised Moses. Every morning he sent down these little seeds, which looked like coriander seed, and which the people named manna, and they ate the manna for 40 years, while they wandered in the desert until they reached the land of Canaan. From the desert of Sin, the congregation of the Hebrews set out, and following the road that God had marked for them, they came and encamped at Rephidim, but their new hardships were waiting for them again. Water, we are thirsty. There is no water anywhere. How will we get through? Give us water, Moses. It is your fault that we suffer so. Why did you bring us into the desert to make us and our children and our animals die of thirst? We have been walking so many days and we are worn out. We cannot journey any farther, and if we stay here, we will die. You told us that God is with us. Is it true? Lord, do you hear me? I have come aside to speak with you. What am I to do with this people, who have turned against me because they cannot find water? They are almost ready to stone me. Pass on ahead of your people, Moses, and take with you some of the elders. Take also the staff, the one that struck the sea. I will lead you to a rock on Mount Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and the rock will pour out water, and the people will drink. And Moses did just as the Lord told him, and in a little while, gently, gently, we will all drink. The water is flowing in plenty. There is enough for everyone. Truly the Lord is with us. And we did not believe him, and we turned against Moses. In the third month after their exodus from Egypt, the Israelites came to the desert of Sinai and encamped facing the mountain. Moses went up the mountain to pray, when, Moses, yes, Lord, you have seen what I did for you. I took you out of Egypt and brought you to myself. So then, if you obey my voice and keep my commandments, you will be my chosen people out of all the nations, for the whole earth is mine, and you will be for me a holy nation. Say this to the sons of Israel. Tell them also to fast today and tomorrow to wash themselves and to wash their clothes, so that they may be ready on the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai to declare his commandments to his people, and his people will stand below the mountain to hear them. Yes, Lord. Moses did just as God told him, and the sons of Israel fasted and washed themselves and washed their garments. And on the morning of the third day they went and stood below Mount Sinai to hear the law of God. At its summit there is fire and smoke rising up to the heavens. The whole mountain trembles from its very foundations. And I am the Lord your God, who set you free from slavery in Egypt. You shall have no other God besides me. You shall not worship idols, nor the likenesses of the things that are in heaven, or on the earth, or under the earth. You shall not swear by the name of the Lord without cause. 6 days you shall work and do all your labors. The seventh day, the Sabbath, you shall set apart for your God. Honor your father and your mother, that you may live happily and many years upon the earth. You shall not kill. You shall not assail another's honor. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not covet the things that belong to your neighbor. You have all heard the words of God. If you obey his voice and keep his commandments, you will be his chosen people and a holy nation. We will obey. We will keep his commandments. Some time passed, and one day, my brothers, God has commanded me to go up to the top of Mount Sinai. He wants to give me the stone tablets on which he wrote his commandments. Go, Moses, and do as he commanded you. Wait for me here until I return. Aaron will stay with you whatever you need. Say it to him. Yes, Moses. Moses went up Mount Sinai and stayed there 40 days. During that time, God gave him many other instructions for his people. But his people, who expected Moses to return quickly, grew impatient. Moses is nowhere to be seen. It has been almost 40 days since he left. What could have happened to him? Who knows? Perhaps he will never return. That is what I think, too. He is not coming back, and we need someone to lead us. Aaron, get up and make us a god to lead us. Without a god, we cannot journey on. As for Moses, the man who brought us out of Egypt, we do not know what became of him. Make us a god. Aaron, take the earrings off the ears of your wives and bring them to me. Yes, Aaron, with this gold Aaron made a golden calf, and as soon as they saw it, this is our God. This is the one who set us free from Egypt. We will build him an altar. We will offer him sacrifice. This is our God, our Lord, and our God. Up on Mount Sinai, God saw it all and heard it all. Moses, go down, for your people have quickly turned aside from the way I marked out for them. They made themselves a god, a golden calf, and bowed down to it. And they said that this is the God who set them free from Egypt. Forgive them, Lord. Do not punish them. Remember that you set them free from slavery. Remember, Lord Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you promised that you would multiply their descendants like the stars of heaven, and that you would bring them back to the land of their fathers. God forgave the people of Israel and gave Moses two stone tablets on which he himself had written his commandments with his own hand. Up on Mount Sinai, Moses took the two stone tablets with the commandments of God and returned to the camp of the Hebrews. What is this noise? What has come over you that you are dancing? How could you offer a sacrifice here to this calf? O people of Israel, you have sinned, you made idols and worshiped them. You did not follow the commandments of your God. Your God. What have you done, Moses? You have thrown the tablets of God to the ground and broken them. My anger is terrible. Aaron, this likeness of the calf is well. Look, I am casting it into the fire to melt it down. You should not have made it for them. You sinned more than the others. How can God protect us now? How can he bring us to the land of our fathers when we forget him so quickly, both him and his commandments? We were at fault, Moses. We have sinned what you told us was right. But forgive us. We beg you on our knees. What am I? To forgive you. Am I God? Entreat God. But be at peace. Give thanks to the Lord, for he has already forgiven you. Moses, obeying the command of God, went up Mount Sinai again and received from his hand two other tablets, on which the Lord had once more written his commandments. These tablets he kept in the ark, so God had commanded him, and his people labored to make it. The ark was a chest made of strong wood, which inside and out was covered with gold and adorned with wreaths and other golden ornaments. When they had prepared it, they placed it inside the tabernacle of witness, which God had commanded them to make. The tabernacle of witness was a wooden temple that could be taken down and set up again. When the Israelites encamped, they raised their temple, and when they rose to depart, they took it down and carried it with them. The tabernacle of witness was divided into two parts: the Holy of Holies, where the ark was kept, and the sanctuary. There stood a golden lampstand with seven lights, and the censer. The people brought whatever precious things they had to adorn it. gold that was made into vessels, ram skins dyed red, beautiful, and many colored fabrics, and the skins of jackals. It also had the table, the golden altar, the laver vessels of bronze, and sacred vestments adorned with gold and precious stones for the ministers. And the first minister of the Lord was Aaron. Moses would enter the tabernacle of witness and speak with God, who revealed himself to him. For a year the Israelites stayed near Mount Sinai, and then they rose and continued their journey. And the Lord led them all the way until they reached the wilderness of Paran. They were no longer far from the land of promise. Moses sent one man from each tribe of Israel to spy out the land of Canaan, which I have promised to give you. Yes, Lord, Moses gathered 12 men, one from each tribe. Among them was Joshua, the devoted follower of Moses. Go up onto this mountain and look across at the land. It is the land of Canaan that the Lord promised to give us. But we want to learn what kind of people live there and what they are like, strong or weak, few or many, how many. Then what is their land like, fertile or barren and dry? Does it have trees or not? Are there cities without walls, or do they have walls? All around, travel through the whole country, then come back and tell us what you saw. And bring us, if you find any, some of the fruit for us to see. The 12 men set out, and they returned after 40 days. They brought back a cluster of grapes so large that 2 men had to carry it on a pole between them. When the people saw them, they ran up, eager to hear what they had found. Oh, what an enormous cluster of grapes! Just look at these pomegranates and figs. Have you ever seen the like of them? Truly, Moses, the land you sent us to is a land flowing with milk and honey. I am glad to hear it, Joshua, but tell us now about its people as well. They are strong, and their cities are large and fortified. What are you saying? This is terrible. We never expected it. Are you sure of what you saw? But why are you afraid? Let them be strong. We will all fall upon them suddenly, take them by surprise, and surely defeat them. Have you lost your senses, Caleb, to speak like this? Have you forgotten the sons of Anak? They are giants. Beside them we are like grasshoppers. That is how we saw ourselves, and that is how they saw us too. If we attack, we will take them by surprise, Joshua, son of Nun. If we attack, not one of us will be left alive. We will never dare to do such a thing. Woe to us, the wretched ones, wandering 2 years from desert to desert, unwashed, parched, in rags, and now that we have reached our goal, to be told that all our toil has been in vain. Woe to us, we cannot endure any longer. We are exhausted. This is your fault, Moses. Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Why did you not leave us in our homes? How much better it was there. Moses and Aaron are to blame for uprooting us from our homes. And why has God brought us here? Only for the inhabitants of Canaan to kill us men and carry off our wives and children as slaves. Let us go back to Egypt. Yes, yes, yes. Let us go back to Egypt. Let us choose a leader to take us there. Be still. The land we went in to spy out is fertile, very fertile, and if the Lord is pleased with us, he will give it to us. But you must not forget him, nor speak this way about Moses and Aaron, who do so much for you. Joshua, son of Nun, is right. Now listen to me as well. Do not be afraid of those people, for the Lord does not protect them. The Lord is with us. He protects us. Be quiet, Caleb. Both of you be quiet. We will silence them ourselves. Let us stone them. Yes, 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 yes. Let us stone them. Come on, at that moment. God appeared at the tent of meeting. Moses, Lord, how long will this people provoke me? How long will they refuse to believe in me? My patient endurance is now exhausted, and I have decided to punish them. None of the adults will enter Canaan, except Caleb and Joshua, son of Nun, who had faith in me. Only their children will I lead there later. They will come to know the promised land, the land their parents despised, while the people will wander in the wilderness for 40 years, amid hardship and danger. And so it happened. The years passed, and the people of Israel did not come to know the promised land. They wandered from one wilderness to another, just as God had said. And one day, Moses go up to Mount Nebo in the land of Moab, opposite Jericho, and look upon the land of Canaan, which I will give to your descendants. So Moses went up from the plains of Moab to the summit of the mountain. This is the land I promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. You see it now with your own eyes, yet you shall not go there. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab at the age of 120 years, after he had appointed Joshua, son of Nun, as his successor. The sons of Israel wept for him and mourned him for 30 days. But never again did a prophet like Moses arise among their people, one who saw the Lord face to face, who heard his voice and did so much for his people.